Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
How old were you when you started working for Masco?
16. And I did that till I graduated.
And you mentioned that it was supposed to be a couple times a week, but he'd call you back out of class. Do you remember about how long each session would be?
The problem is that once the Coke started coming, I really didn't remember a lot. And I've always wanted to know what was in those Coke. And Abby has provided some information on that, but I really don't. Now, how long? But he could get me out of anything.
Did you work for him up until the time you graduated?
I did.
Were you getting paid for it?
I was.
How did that work out?
It worked out well. I had three jobs, and then I worked full time during the summer all the time. So I made a lot of money.
But he paid you out of his own pocket or from the school?
I don't know where the money came from. I'm sure he had a budget. I'm sure that it was cash, and I think it was cash, yeah. And I'm sure that some of those records are the ones that ended up with the grave digger, and I would think that they would be some of those records that went there.
Was it just you and Masco during those times?
Yes. Now, whether anyone else came in and whether I was not aware of that through drugging could be, but unlike Gene, I'm not aware of that.
Right. After the coke happened. I definitely get that. Do you think that the documents that you wrote, do you believe that they were a part of the boxes in the cemetery?
I would think there's a strong likelihood that they are. I think that I'm not quite sure why he was creating such documentation. It doesn't really reflect well on him to be taking girls to the gynecologist, but for some reason he was doing it.
Right.
But he was a sick man. So there was in some way that this was making sense to him.
In those moments when you started doing the dictation work for him, in your mind, do you think that the fact that he did have such the education in psychology, do you feel like that had some impact on you feeling like the work that you were doing was okay?
I do. And the other thing is that I grew up in a family that my father was very simplistic. In terms of the way that he looked at Catholicism, it was the nuns and the priest said, you did it, you did it. And so there was a blind faith in the Catholic religion that permeated that generation, and that was being handed down to us. That doesn't exist anymore, but that certainly did exist in his mind's eye. And so they could do no wrong. That was the way we were taught. I grew up as a little girl that wanted to be a nun. You know what I mean? We all did at one point. We really put them on a pedestal. And that was the way that he was able to run that school, the way that he was. He was not the principal. He was not in charge. But he was in charge because he browbeat every woman that was in that school. So that was the legacy, not only of that blind faith that allowed them to take people like me and do whatever they wanted with them. But also for him as a male and interacting with the females there to have that kind of power. He was just the chaplain. He was just the counselor. But in my Catholic faith, when I was in my grade school, the nuns all lived in a little cinder block house that was super tiny, and the priest lived in this huge house, and he had three servants. So that's how I grew up, knowing how the men of the faith were treated and how the women of the faith were treated. So that's the way it was.
Did he ever mention to you about his strong desire to know more about psychology? Because it seemed like he almost had an obsession with psychology.
He didn't say that, but he certainly practiced it. Definitely, I was being psychoanalyzed, both in the tests that he gave me and the conversations that we were having. And definitely, he thought himself a practitioner and that he was good at it. And that's what he was here to do. That's what he was there to do, was to practice on the students. And I don't really think that he was, I mean, he didn't really have a degree. I don't think. Maybe I'm not quite sure what he had, but he really wasn't.
Yeah. Shane, correct me if I'm wrong, but he did have a degree in school counseling.
Yeah, right? But school, yeah, that's not real counseling.
No, it's not.
That's not counseling.
And I'm wondering,
he thought he was.
Yeah, I'm wondering, do you know if your sister was at Keough when he was still there? He left in 75.
I think she was there, but she had no interaction with him.
So he didn't seek her out?
No.
And you would have been like the fall of your junior year when Sister Kathy went missing and then later was found.
Yeah.
Did you ever make a connection between her murder and Maskell, or where was your head on all that? I was a senior. You would have been a year behind me.
I didn't really know about any abuse allegations. I wasn't even aware of my own abuse. It didn't even start to dawn on me until after I left Keough that something really wrong had happened there. And so it didn't, no. I did not have any kind of clue as to what was going on.
Did you know Kathy?
No.
You didn't have her for, you wouldn't have had her for class?
No, I did not have her for any classes. Mm-hmm. And as I say, I was not aware of what was going on, even to myself.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Let's dissect the situation, shall we? My social battery's been running low lately, fueled by the insatiable curiosity of Foul Play listeners. But amidst the thrill of investigation, it's crucial to take a step back and prioritize our mental well-being. Just like analyzing evidence in a case, therapy can provide clarity and perspective. It's about understanding yourself on a deeper level and learning how to navigate life's complexities with confidence. Thinking about therapy, BetterHelp offers a virtual toolbox for self-discovery. It's flexible, convenient, and tailored to your needs, allowing you to explore your thoughts and feelings from the comfort of your home. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/foul today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/foul, FOUL.
American Criminal is a new true crime podcast from the studio behind American Scandal and American History Tellers. Every week, you'll fall deeper into the riveting stories of the country's most clever, craven, and cruel criminals. Fraud, theft, murder, and worse. Whatever the case, whoever the criminal, you don't know the whole story until now. The debut season tackles one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents. Prosecutors and the press said it was a multi-million dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder. But the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill? Or was it even in self-defense? Listen now. Go to AmericanCriminal.com or search for and follow American Criminal wherever you get your podcasts.
Did speak with someone earlier in another podcast episode. She was also in The Keepers. She was the professor at the time. I believe she was at Loyola when Father Maskell started taking post-master classes. So if I remember correctly, I believe he did have a master's degree. And he was expressing his interest in obtaining a PhD at some point, which I don't believe he ever obtained that. The next question that I had was, what type of impact did your experience with Father Maskell have on your life?
I just went into a tailspin after that. Unlike the rest of my family, they had very normal lives. Everything went well for them. I was the complete opposite. Quickly, right after high school, I moved out. I quit college in the first semester. I married early, and I married a person who was on their own, was a renegade and running away from problems with their Catholic faith. He had been in the seminary and come out of the seminary, and his family was very disappointed with him. So we got married, knew very little of each other, and got married and then got divorced very quickly. And I ended up with a daughter, no support from him or anything like that. And just kept making mistakes, lots of mistakes. I became just completely disassociative. I was not emotionally there. I just felt like a split cell in that I really couldn't connect with people. Very distant from my family for a very long period of time. He really did drive a wedge between my parents and I. He was very effective at that. I went on like that for most of my 20s. Until I had two failed marriages, actually, and then started going back to school and got a job with a good company, things were starting to get better. I did connect with Jean, and Jean and I had this realization that this terrible thing had happened to both of us. And that made me, it explained some things, that I wasn't alone, and that the thoughts that I have and some of these memories that kept haunting me, things really took off in my 30s, and I finished my degree and went on to my master's degree. I got a really great job and was really taken off, and a really great husband, one that I have now, George, and really couldn't have been better. And then Jean called me about joining her in the lawsuit with her and Teresa. And then it's just, I said no, which I truly regret to this day, but I felt to her for the first time, things are going well. Finally, my life's on track. I can't do this. I can't go back and relive all this and start digging all this stuff up. No sooner had I done that, but it was as if a Pandora's box had just been opened. And I just had debilitating panic attacks and anxiety disorders. So I could barely function. And I had one of the top jobs at a Fortune 100 company. I went to therapy. I got a really great psychiatrist and started down a path of 10 years of taking it all apart. I always felt terrible about not standing up with Jean and Teresa, and that I had abandoned them and not done what's right, which is really took me where, when the Keepers came along and then Abby and everything, I knew I had to do what was right this time, because I felt so bad about what happened to Jean and Teresa during the trial, and how they had to go it alone when there was really a good many of us that knew what had happened and hadn't stood.
First of all, I'm going to vouch for your incredibly wonderful, sweet, adoring, talented, handsome husband. For the listeners out there, George Knipp is like the best guy in the whole world, and he plays guitar, and he hung out with my niece who was trying to play the guitar, and Lil, you hit the jackpot on him. He's just a really wonderful guy. You know that,
I think,
right?
For all the terrible things that happened to me in my life, that suddenly the skies opened and they said, okay, we're going to give you a break here.
But look at you, where you are. You're like so normal. You shouldn't
say that.
Well,
yeah, I wouldn't say
you're quirky.
I'm extremely disassociative.
Yeah. I can't say anything about that, but I do want to ask you what. Nobody is going to fault you ever, they better not, for turning down the request from either Jean or Teresa to get involved in that lawsuit, because you had your own issues at that time. But I do want to ask you why you did decide to be part of the Keepers, besides the fact that I dragged you into it, even in the middle of your arm surgery. I probably was too persistent, but can you talk a little bit about what made you decide to go ahead and be part of the series?
I think when you have something like this in your past and you have an opportunity like this keepers, it's a gift. Because first of all, when you try to tell people, and there's many times when I tried to tell people about the abuse, most people don't want to hear about it. You can see it in their eyes and they give you a look and it's, oh, you're going to tell me something horrible. Please don't put that on me. And it really is putting something on them. When you share with them something horrible that has happened to you, then you transfer it to them. And I have done that before to people and stopped because I could see that it was going to hurt them to do that. The keepers, people believe us suddenly, where we see all around us when we hear people come out and share their abuse, how oftentimes they're told, you're not believed, they're not credible, that didn't happen, and all this kind of stuff. But suddenly we were believed. And so that is the greatest gift that could ever happen to someone like me and the others that have had that, because we struggle so much with the shame, with the silence, with the fact that we can't tell, yet we silently walk around wounded and not being able to bring it out. And it's only the light that can make it better for us. It's only telling our truth that can heal you. Because if you never say it, if you never bring it out, then there's this big part of you that no one ever knows about. And you can't ever be fully you. That was the greatest gift of, and I was petrified the entire time because of that shame. I've carried that shame my whole life, even though I didn't deserve to, even though it wasn't me, it doesn't matter. It's that thing that happens to us when someone like him puts that on us. Now we carry it then, and we carry it so long. And it's only, I think, it certainly, I see time and again that it's women of our age that finally let it go and finally are ready to and get rid of it. But it should. And then the outpouring after keepers of so many women coming forward and praising me, it was almost painful to have that happen because I didn't want accolades or anything for it. I didn't want to be praised for it. I just wanted it to be known and it to be better so that other people would come forward and so that we all don't have to suffer and do all the time for something that wasn't our fault. It was the biggest gift. And I thank you, Gemma, for your part in bringing that all to.
I don't know who to thank for bringing you into my life. You,
well,
both you and George, I trust you implicitly. And I just, even though we don't see each other as often as I would like to,
right,
feel so close to you both. And I think it's just because we have a lot of, you know, we bonded and we understand each other, but I appreciate that.
Lil, you've had a mediation settlement with the Archdiocese and you actually met with Bishop Lori. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I thought the mediation settlement was truly awful. I really think there has to be a better way to do it than the way that they did it. First of all, there is no clergy member there. You go around, you tell your story, and they sit there very quietly, and they all are very pious looking and very sad-eyed, and they're rather sorry, but they don't admit that anything really happened. They won't do that, but they do all that, and it's lawyers, nothing but lawyers. And then after all that goes on, and then you separate into the other, this is the mediation part, then when you go into the other rooms, and they're very careful before you get to the mediation part and the separation, that no amount of money can make this okay. Money can't make this okay. All right? So they're very careful in saying that. And then at least with me, they came with their first offer was so rock bottom low. I sit and I threw the thing on the floor and I just said, you insult me. And the mediator, the judge, couldn't have been a more gentle, nice man. And so I didn't mean it for him. Mm-hmm. For them to go through all those nice and flowery language and then come back with something like that was just truly, and I made sure that they knew it. But then we go 5 hours back and forth and just this incrementalism where it's just you just fight for every inch. And of course, our situation with the lawyer that we had, he was just the worst. He just really was the worst. He was so disengaged. He never spoke up. He never did anything. He didn't fight for us at all. At one point in time, I said to him, "You are going to say something, aren't you? You are going to say something on my behalf," because he just said nothing. It was me speaking to them the entire time, fighting with them. That in and of itself, I thought, the way that they could improve it, first of all, was to have a priest there, to have someone, priest, say, "We're sorry. We failed you. This was wrong. This should never have happened." But there is no one there. The only one they had was the supervisor of child services or whatever. And that, to me, was just not high enough. But we go 5 hours. We're into Friday night, rush hour, 6 o'clock. And it's just, it wears you down. That's all it is, just to wear you down until you will stop. And so I felt very used and abused after that. I felt disrespected. I felt this is all just a numbers game for them, and they will just keep on keeping on until they wear you out, and which is what they did. And it really made me feel horrible after that was over. And then Lori, everyone had gotten a letter that said they have an opportunity to meet with Lori if they would like, and no one did. And so I thought, yeah, I do want to talk to him. And that same person, what is her name? Gemma, the one that's the supervisor of the child services.
Child protective, Jerry Burkhart?
Yeah, Jerry Burkhart.
Yeah, the one she that sits on the opposite. Yeah, the one that sits opposite the client.
Yeah, she was there with Lori and I. And we had a very long and contentious meeting. And I was angry. I let loose a torrent. I was very angry. I wasn't angry. I wasn't like yelling at him, but I was really angry. And I had a lot to say. And the first thing I said was, "I want you to look at me, and I want you to look at me really closely, because of this, I want you to have in your mind face of a masterful victim, because you've never seen one. I want you to have one in your face, and I want you to listen to me about my life and what has happened to me." And then so I just went off on a tear about everything that's happened and everything he did. And then I knew his background, of course, and he had been doing the same thing in another archdiocese, protecting the church and all. And he was slippery and saying what he's going to say. And then I said to him at one point, "When you get together with your bishop friends, they must be all high-fiving you." And he goes, "Why do you say that?" I said, "Because you got off so cheap. You got off so cheap. They must be asking you, how did you do it? How did you do it?" And he just got really super red in the face and everything. And he goes, "I can assure you, no one's high-fiving me." And I got off. And I said, "You did. You really." And I said, "Suppose someone committed the most heinous act you can think of against you and violated you in the most heinous way, and then came to you and said to you, no amount of money is going to make up for this. So we just want to say we're sorry."
Attention, friends. Are you ready to embark on a journey into the unknown this Mother's Day? Prepare to dive into the depths of your family's history with MyLifeInABook.com. Each week, MyLifeInABook.com sends intriguing questions, uncovering the thrilling tales of your mom's past. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. From daring escapes to nail-biting encounters, her life becomes an epic adventure waiting to be explored. This Mother's Day, give the gift of excitement and intrigue with MyLifeInABook.com. It's a thrilling ride through your mom's life that you won't want to miss. I gave this to my mom last year, and let's just say I didn't know my mom as well as I thought I did. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code SHANE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code SHANE for 10% off today.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How would you feel about that? How would that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets redder and redder. You know what I mean? I said, I ruined my daughter's life. I ruined my life. I'm still dealing with how I'm out of this. So I don't want to hear that crap from you when you say that. Money does matter. It can make up. I spent 10 years going to counseling, 10 years paying a psychiatrist. I have screwed my daughter's life up in more ways than I can count. I could do something for her with the money that you would give me, but go into mediation and push and pull for every single dime, every dime. You know, it said, I believe that if it was you in the seat, you would feel very differently if somebody had done to you what that was done to us. Sex trafficked us, raped us, drugged mm-hmm. us. And when we were teenagers. And so we're going on now, and he goes to me, what you want from me? He goes, I was a teenager when this all happened. I said, Archbishop Lori, we're the exact same age. I bet your teenage years were a whole hell of a lot better than mine were.
Lil, are you aware that you are the only mediation client that we know of that actually met with him?
Oh, I know.
And do
he
you
couldn't
now,
wait for me to leave.
You know what? Right now, I don't know if you realize this, but everybody that's listening to this right now, they're all going, you go, girl, or they're applauding you or clapping, I'm sure.
I felt he invited, like I was saying it for everyone.
He invited you.
He took he him did. Up on the other invitation. Thing I said to him, the other thing I said to him was, I said, in a couple of months, a movie is coming out. A series is coming out. The Keepers. Have you heard about it? And this is in January before mm-hmm. it came out. And he goes, I think I've heard something. And I said, you better get ready. And he says, what do you mean by that? And I said, you could be a hero. He goes, says, what does that mean? I said, you could release the document from Master and get ahead of this. And so that when it hits you, it's not going to be as negative as it's surely going to be. I said, I'm in PR and marketing, and I have defended my corporation from some really negative things. You're going to hit the wall when this thing comes out. So you could get ahead of it. He goes, I'm not interested in being in. That's what he said.
Has anybody invited you to run for office? I'm serious.
No,
run with you or be your manager. We'd be great. No.
This is enough. It's too much. There's too much. I'm like, I sit and do art now. I don't have all that. Mm-hmm. He needed to get that out to him because he needed to. And so he needed to know it. Him sitting there in his little ivory tower, all way far away from the work they're doing down there with the mediations and all. He needed mm-hmm. to know it. It made me feel better when I walked out.
I'm sure. I would have too.
I had a previous conversation with Sean Kane from the Archdiocese, and one of the things that he said about the mediation process, which I had never heard before, so I'm wondering if you can tell me if this was true or not, is that they understand the financial strain that getting an attorney that they require for a mediation, you had to have an attorney to enter into a mediation with them. He said that they give you the money separately from the settlement to pay for that attorney. Is that true?
No. It comes out of your settlement.
That's what I thought. Do you remember by chance the percentage that you have to pay the attorney out of the settlement?
It's 29%. And when I remember that because it made me think that's almost a third. Yeah. Which is.
It's a bunch of crap, is what it is.
Yeah. 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 They don't pay for it outside. And they give you 2 years of counseling. Mm-hmm. Even if you need more, so I only give you 2 years of counseling. They won't reimburse you for any counseling that you had before.
which is crazy because all of you that I've met have had to have therapy throughout your life because of what happened to you.
Sure.
And it's not retroactive, which is wrong. Right.
And it's all the at the age that we finally got to this mediation. Of course, we've all had to have something before. Yeah, here's the 29.5%.
There you go. The other thing I thought was really strange is that the Archdiocese offers free counseling for as long as you need it, as long as you use their pastoral counselors, which is saying, okay, we're going to have the people that did this to you counsel you.
No, so, that's really ridiculous.
How do we even answer that?
Yeah.
Where are you now in your life? Can you share with us, like, anything?
I feel pretty good right now. I think the Keepers did me a lot of good. It really set me free in a lot of respect. I am not the kind of person that keeping up with everything that is Catholic Church abuse related. I don't go delving for that all the time. I create a lot of art. I do that every day. I'm far more relaxed, and I feel like a weight has been lifted off of my shoulders by virtue of having this out and having the story been told. I think that's because what happens with these kind of situations, it becomes a huge part of you. And to have to hide it, it's like you're not really being you when that occurs. And so it did be a huge favor by bringing it to light.
This is a personal request, but once this is posted on the Out of the Shadows podcast page, would you be willing to send me some photos of your artwork so that other people can see what you're doing? Because sure. I've had the privilege of receiving cards from you that you've created, and you were here at my home, and we sat, we drew, and we sang to Pandora, and it was so mellow. And I just think people would truly appreciate being able to see the gift that you give all of us, among many others. So, if you could maybe send me some photos, and then I can post those. Are you selling any of your artwork?
No, I might do it later on in the year. I'm just trying to develop a muscle about it, where I'm sitting down every day and doing it. So I'm creating just a lot of pieces, and then I'll see where I get after that. But just for the joy of it and the peacefulness that I get from it, and it makes me happy.
Isn't retirement wonderful?
I know. It's what I always dreamed of doing. I always wanted. Yep. I started out life as an artist, and so now I'm ending it up. It's fun. And I met your wonderful brother-in-law. He framed two of my paintings.
Okay.
That was nice.
Yeah. Studio, everybody. Wonderful. I'm glad you met him.
Yeah.
And is there anything at all that you would like to say, any message, any words of wisdom, suggestion, recommendation for anybody that might be listening?
Yeah, I think that when women step forward in these kind of situations, I mean, it is with a lot of pain, and it is with it takes a lot to get them there. So I'm always, it's always so painful when people will say things like, that never happened, or why didn't she come forward a long time ago, and all this kind of stuff. It's the hope that when all the kindness and love that has been shown to all of us through the Keepers, I hope that people will keep that in their minds when they hear of other people coming forward and extend that same love to them, because it's a scary and shameful thing that people have to go through in order to the light. And so that's what I would say.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.